Ladies and gentlemen, in making the decision to download and listen to this episode, what you committed to is a thoroughly entertaining and at times highly random conversation with a thoroughly entertaining and often highly insightful guest. Welcome back to the show, and as always, I'm super grateful every time you tune in. Hearing your thoughts on the conversations is what really keeps me driven to keep going. And more than a few of you have mentioned that you love the bromance from the conversation that I had with Shuel. Well, get ready, because you're about to experience that all over again. In fact, my guest for this conversation, Mohammed Sadiq Hussein, who goes by the long-standing alias of Doc. By the way, if you want to know where that name came from, he'll be more than happy to tell. The name has become such a part of his identity that he has his own podcast, which is brilliantly named DocCast. So some of you will know Doc already, in which case there is no introduction that I could give that could do justice to the beacon of light that he is. So instead, I've put together this episode, well, firstly because our conversation lasted well past the 2-hour mark, but also because the first 30 minutes of our discussion will give you a near perfect overview of the great human being that he is. From his quick wit through to his openness about the more serious topics in his life, I have no doubt by the end you'll understand just why it was such a great pleasure for me to have him on this show.
Bruv, I get anxious. I get anxious and embarrassed and nervous before every single thing. Almost every single thing that I do. We've never actually had proper long form conversation before. Like long form, right? But the interactions we do have always been very short, very, and incredibly punchy. Yeah, incredibly punchy.
And it's like the clash of witty minds, you know.
Yeah. The worry I have with you saying the clash of witty minds is it sets a standard now that I have to live up to, that I need to be witty.
And... it's pretty much what I do in a. Because I always start off by talking about why I'm excited to have the person on. And so this is how I compare it, how I can relate it with you. So you know when you're in school and then you have your school friends and then you go for summer holidays. And over summer holidays, there'll be like maybe two or three of your friends that you'll see because they live like down your road or you go to the same summer school or summer club or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you know when you're just really excited to come back on that first day of school to see that one kid, and then you have that little school kid feeling of like, yes, I haven't seen this guy in like 3 months. Yeah. I can't wait. This is how I feel with having you on the show. So just so you know, that's the giddy little kid that's going on right now.
That's I'm really glad about that. Yeah. And this probably says more about me than it does about anyone else. Is that, like, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. But the thing is, I don't think you're lying and I don't think you're wrong. I can't turn that switch in me that's like, shit, someone's excited to listen to me, to see me and stuff. I have a podcast. People have told me a few times, yeah, I'm excited to listen and stuff. And each time I'm like, oh, yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah,
like,
sure. Yeah.
Deep down, I'm like, you don't give a fuck, man. Get away from me. Like,
Do you think that's just generally with compliments? Like, is it something about receiving compliments, or is it certain things that...
Oh, without a doubt, compliments as well. I have like mad imposter syndrome over everything as well. Over everything. I've told a few people about this meme that I saw the other... Well, I say meme, a headline that I saw on one of those like parody news sites.
Oh, yeah.
It just said, and the headline was literally just, are you even good enough to have imposter syndrome? And I was like, oh, this is a level of anxiety I don't need to add to my mindset.
The imposter of the imposter.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what makes you think you're good enough to even have imposter syndrome? I was like, yeah, okay. I mean, I can't argue with that.
That is a pretty big insult.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, hey, what makes you think your anxiety is justified, man? You're worse than that. And you're like, whoa, hold up. I was chilling, but I saw that headline and I was like, whoa, that's a personal attack on me. And yeah, I wasn't pleasant about that at all. That was pleasant. Already nervous, man. Nerves are kicking in, man. Scared.
Just throwing out adjectives instead of noun. Is that right? Adjectives instead of verbs.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm here. And I will certainly. This is proper close out the podcast statements. But like, yeah, I'll have you on my podcast as a guest sometime as well. This is the kind of stuff you say to wrap it up. Fuck it, we'll do things differently here. I have you on my podcast soon as
well. Now it started, so at the end you just have to reiterate. If you don't say at the end, it means that you've changed your mind throughout the course of this conversation.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be chilling there and I'll be like, you know what? Anand's the one that should have imposter syndrome. I swear a lot, so sorry about that. And
as you probably know, when you upload a podcast, there is that little checkbox of explicit content. So
you get to have that with my one.
Let's just say it's already checked. Yeah,
parental advisory.
Yeah,
explicit content. I'm the notorious DOQ, and I'm here with the DAWT.
Is that what it is? I've never heard
the DAWT. I was thinking, just so you know, that was prepared material. I was thinking to myself, DAWT doesn't sound too bad, you know.
That's actually not bad at all. Yeah.
It's not bad at all. If you were ever gonna be a DJ, which I encourage you to be, DAWT.
Yeah, there's a lot you can do.
And you can pick up, you can get all the microphone and be like, yeah, yeah, DAWT. And really get on and start saying stuff that you've never said before.
There's so many plays on words that I'm already thinking of. None of them I really like yet. Like with my GNAT, because I'm PHAT. You know,
PHAT. Or you can be like, I ain't here to talk all that crap. I'm here to talk this and I'm here to talk that. and then in the background you hear have someone going D-W-T.
Okay, so here I've already become an imposter of Snoop Dogg. So the question the listeners are probably saying is or thinking is, who are you to even be a wannabe Snoop Dogg?
Yeah, exactly. They're like, who is this guy? Who what makes him think he's good enough to think he's not good enough to be Snoop Dogg? And that's when you come in and say, I'm D-A-double-T, son. I don't play that shit. and you start getting all Ebonic vernacular and really aggressive. That's what you do.
And just to make it worse, I've never, ever been a fan of weed. It's never... And so I'm just so unsuited to the Snoop model. But
I'm certain that the green aspect of Snoop Dogg is... without a doubt, the least important aspect of what makes you unlike Snoop Dogg. I think you're what you're. I vaguely recall hearing what like Kenyan Indian or something, right?
Yeah,
Kenyan Indian. Which, by the way, fix that. But okay, so you're Kenyan Indian with the whitest voice I've ever heard. Yeah, you're Kenyan Indian, and you're like, yes, indubitably, I am absolutely Kenyan and Indian. And you're like, oh, okay.
And I'm thrilled to have you up in the club.
I am most excited and thrilled to be, one is most delighted.
So now
to be
I sound
in the
a bit
club.
Like Boris as well. This is really transformative.
One sound most delighted and to be in the club with the
with my group of accomplices, and it's marvelous.
Marvelous. And we all know we make a hard time come from the Bullingdon Boys Club, and we made it into the club. I know the club, of course I do. Twat. But no, what I was gonna say is you're Kenyan in the same way, and I mean this with all sincerity and no disrespect, yeah? You are absolutely Kenyan in the same way that Ollie London is Korean. Right? Because Ollie London is Korean and we have to accept that. We can't take that away from him.
You clearly have not been to Kenya recently. Or it depends what part of Kenya, but Kenya is full of Indians.
I mean, yeah, I thought Kenyans were in Kenya, yeah?
No, that's crazy.
I guess what, they're all in Tokyo at the moment or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
To smash the marathon.
Globalization is insane.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely mad. No, but I know you're to be asking me questions, but what's your ancestry like, straight up?
This could be a dual Dotcast The Journey Onwards crossover episode.
The
collaboration, that's the word I'm looking for.
The journey Dotcast. It's, by the way, is the audio all right though?
Yeah, it's good.
Like, Dotcast doesn't really have really necessarily super high production values, right? Because that is part of the charm, is what I'd like to say. I'm cheap is the other, right? But you had a guest on recently, Lucas Scrobot, right? Oh my god, that guy looked like he was in a movie the whole time.
Yeah.
Every clip of his I saw, I was like what is like it? His quality was that up there that for a little while I was thinking to myself, did Anand really speak to this guy, or is he just doing like a reaction video where he's like splicing himself in with the reactions and stuff? Because I was thinking to myself, he's not really like directly interacting with it. But of course, it's clips, so it's like, you know, it's not going to look perfectly organic. But I was still looking at it, like thinking, what the?
The difference is
that
insane,
is not right. The difference is mad.
That really made me. That I think it was after that episode where I was like, wow, I need to buy a webcam, because before that I was just using the computer inbuilt one, not very good.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas this one at least is like Logitech Pro. Shout out Logitech.
Yeah, yeah, well done Logitech, man.
But I think he even had those, there was something about the headphones he used which were really cool.
Well, it didn't look like he had headphones on, because I remember looking at him thinking to myself, like, isn't his microphone going to pick up the audio speaking on speakers like that? So either he had one of those like earpiece thingies, right, which already blows everyone out the water, or he's got like an ultra quality microphone that's just, you know. What I'm trying to say is fuck that guy. Yeah. And also I was really panicking about you hearing the rustling of the sound of all these bags of Watsits I have under my desk.
Yeah. But that's good. So if it's a Cardo condenser, then it'll pick up the rustling of the Watsits.
It's no, this is a condenser microphone. I have I got an XLR microphone, but I haven't bought a power supply yet. So I got this bad boy later. Yeah. And I'll. But the thing is, right, Nandy was saying it looks like a kid's microphone if I hold it like this. So when I use it, I have to hold it like this just to be like, yeah, there's more. You know, there's more to this. I was going to say, so I feel a little less, I feel ever so slightly less nervous. Yeah? You have to understand, right? I rate, the imposter syndrome is really serious. So when I'm speaking to you, I'm like, I'm wasting Anand's time. Yeah, you invited me to be here. And even then, I'm like, fuck, I'm wasting his time. So when I'm trying to sort out my technical difficulties, the level of panic that I'm in, I'm like, oh my god, this guy's gonna hate me. He's gonna be like, I'm never working with this is the amateur trash. I'm never working with him again. I'm imagining you being some kind of showbiz lunatic. Yeah.
Just wait till I come on yours, and I'm gonna purposely create so many difficulties in the background. I'm gonna have like a makeup team who are just like, touch up. I'll be like, hold on. I just need to get my makeup touched up, and I'll switch mics halfway through. Who knows?
Yeah, you know what? That's fine. You know what? I wouldn't edit it out. I'd be like, nah, leave it in. I'd be like, leave it in. We'll get everything. This is raw. I know, again, this is veering off the topic, but I like to discuss these things because it's a type of therapy at the end of the day. But yeah, the whole time I'm sprinting downstairs, panicking. I'm like, Nandy, I don't want to chance anything. Give me your laptop, you know? I'm not going to fuck around with my PC that just blue screened and just lose another whole load of data. We'll do that, rush back up, we'll get plugged in, get started again. But what can I say, man? Like, I'm just really, really worried.
This is the thing for, I think, you know, when listeners listen, as they do, they sometimes take for granted some of the work that goes into production, right? It's so, when I used to listen to podcasts, I used to think like, oh wow, they just start and then talk for an hour and then click publish and then job done. But a lot of the time, especially starting out, there are so many bumps.
Oh man, like a computer blue screening when I hit my stride.
Yeah, you were just getting to talk about how excited,
how happy I am to be here. Yeah. how comfortable I feel. And then life was like, hey, hang on a sec. Someone's just put the lights out on my computer. It's done.
But are you now back in that calmed state?
God willing. I'm all right. I'm all right. Like I said, the build up is arguably the most. Do you ever get anxious? Anand?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, because like in all my interactions with you, you've always seemed on it. You know, like you've always seemed like, you know, I've got this under control. And I say that because that one of my best examples is when we were on holiday one time, and I was buzzing, and I was like, hey, I know, I'm gonna just talk to these girls real quick, yeah. And it takes a lot to make me stick around, yeah, to listen to someone talk. You have to be like really engaging, otherwise I'm gonna be like, yeah, all right, thanks, and then move on, yeah, or politely continue to listen under duress. But I'm there and I'm just like, wow, this, like I think at one point I was like, this, wow, this is dry, right? I was like, hey, nah, I'm all right. And no, you came over just to be like, hey, what's going on here? And I'm like, yeah, whatever, right? And then I didn't even think to like come up with a distraction. I was just like out of there. I just left without saying any kind of wrap up or goodbye. And I just left you to talk to these nice ladies. Nice. But dry, yeah. And I was like, I just went, and I thought to myself, afterwards you came and said,
you literally made them sound like a Rye Vita cracker. Like they're nice, but they're dry.
Dry, yeah. I mean, they were lovely people, I'm sure, from the short interaction we had. But I could sometimes you just get a feel for or a vibe for something, and the what, like, so leaving you alone with them wasn't the shitty thing that I did. The shitty thing I did was not warn you who I'm leaving you with. So I'm just like, I'm out of there. I didn't even hang around to be like, hey, this, you know, like, hey, but someone's coming to get. I just ditched you with them and left. And then you came in up to me, not in a aggressive or upset way, but you were just like, dog, by the way, like, thanks for leaving me back there to pick things up with these, to wrap things up with them. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm really sorry about that, man. And it was the most insincere apology. I didn't mean that sorry at all. I was like, in my mind, I was like, hey, this is the way the dice rolls sometimes, man.
I did it that time and I'll do it again.
Yeah, but my I hadn't known you as long as I have now, and back then I was like, I was very impressed at your ability to be able to just approach anyone. Like, because I knew you through Shuel, and Shuel is just this absolute shining beacon of light, isn't he? What we might know how he's like with us, yeah, the abuse and the constant put downs and the he's actually this incredibly well-learned social scholar, almost. Scholars, you know what, I take that back. I don't want to give him that. I take that back. Don't edit that out, but I take it back. But it's a social whatever, expert. I'll give him expert, fine, have it, you know?
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Yeah. So my connection through here makes me think, oh, Anand and AJ, they're the same, because I've always looked at myself as a sort of outsider in that regard. I'm like, oh, I'm so very different to Shu. Me and Shu get along well because we're always cracking jokes with each other, but Shu evolved on the other side where he's become this incredibly sociable person, and I'm like, I was more of a shut-in, you know?
Hmm.
2010 to 2015 are probably my most depressive years. Like I was a proper shut-in. I was practicing. You know, you're a shut-in when you start practicing and succeeding with lucid dreaming, because the way you figure out lucid dreaming is by sleeping during the day, yeah, as well as the night. So for 2010 to 2015, I was just this very sad, preferred to be indoorsy kind of person. And during that time, as you can imagine, I mean, think about what you were probably around Shu during from 2010 to 20, somewhere between 2010 and 2015.
Yeah.
So you can imagine what he was like around that time. And you're like, oh, okay. So while I'm like having a great time with him there in London, whatever, I'm at home sleeping.
Yeah? Figuring out daytime sleeping, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I'd go out sometimes during the, you know, I was working in Primark then, and in Primark, everyone's always looking for a night out, and everyone's, the key thing with Primark is everyone, and this goes, there's no exceptions, everyone is trying to bang everyone else, yeah? And it's all about, it's just how many different chemical formula can we throw in a pot, and which ones come off, which ones create the reaction that you're
which
looking for.
Which one will combust.
Exactly. And mate, I tell you, I was combusting all night. You know? there's plenty of combustion going on. I'll say in Primark, that's for sure. So they would be my sort of gateway to partying, and I'd party with them. But then I wouldn't make any efforts to see people outside of Primark and or house parties / the Bullingdon Club. But yeah. I had a point. Yeah, no, that's it. So, what a tangent. Okay, so veering back, is your confidence real? How much of it is real? And what did you do to get there?
So this has become a dot card special as well, because you're doing the question asking, but it's a really good question. It's not the first time I've been asked it, especially on the confidence side, where especially when people used to be like, oh, you come across as quite confident, in the same way that you wouldn't accept, you know, the compliments from the beginning, I find that hard to accept because I don't see that side of me. So growing up, I was a super chubby kid,
right?
Common in our friend circle. What I had was my humor, friendliness, wit, EQ. Those are the things I had. Or what I saw it, I kind of had to lean back on being the funny kid because I never saw anyone want to invite me to places or hang around with me or be attracted to me for any other reason, right?
Yeah.
So that was my like go-to. Where that came from, I don't know. But then growing up, I think there's a lot in the power of association, like the people that you hang around. You know, there's this huge thing of how much location is important. So the likes of, there's a reason that next to Stanford, Silicon Valley was built and it attracts all these people to that area. It's who you associate with and you're driven by ambition, everything that we'll probably get into. But in the same way of, I think the people that I managed to form groups with from schooling days and even through university, they carried a certain level of confidence where I didn't feel I was an imposter hanging around with them, but it gave me something to be like, wow, these are qualities that I see that I value or I'm attracted to, and so I'm going to try and learn from them. But there was definitely this initial kind of fake it till you make it. True extroverts can kind of go into an environment and then just switch it on, right? Or they're always switched on. Whereas like what you'll probably understand is we need some kind of a bit more of a build up, like, okay, I know I'm going into this environment, I'm not going to like can what I'm going to say, but there's a bit of a mechanical process in the beginning to be like, this is how I'm going to blend my way in, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I see it as in there's two ways to fake it till you make it. There's people who try and fake it by literally lying about their accomplishments and their capabilities, you know, like lying on a CV, trying to get a job, or showing off when you haven't really achieved what you said you have, or I've got a seven-figure business when you don't.
Yeah.
The other side of it is fake it till you make it in behavioral terms. So it's like, people who are generally a bit depressed and unhappy, if they just mimic the actions and behavior of happy people, they do genuinely become happier over time.
Without a doubt. 100% I understand that, yeah.
And so going back to your question, I just mimicked the behavior of what I thought was a confident-looking person. And then over time, I think it's not even that I felt like I was becoming more confident, but through the interactions with other people, like the fact that they found me really like calming and relatable, it then just gave me that reference point of like, people do actually enjoy hearing my opinion and asking me for my, you know, advice. So that's how it built. But still, I don't think I'm extrovert in a way that I can just go in a room and turn it on. I think I still need to go through that initial hype in a hype process.
Without a doubt, I completely understand. You're more you can do it, but you're way more comfortable doing it when there's been a build up, when you've had, you know, maybe not necessarily straight introductions, but when you've had someone just sort of like creating it. Like someone says something, you're like, oh, I could interject here and it'll win me a couple of points. And then everyone's, and you can feel when people start to turn and be like, I want to hear what else he has to say, man. Like he's making jokes, he's cracking jokes. I do agree that you have a very calming presence, right? Despite having as much venom as Shu might, you definitely have an overall calming presence, which is welcome, especially to someone like me who runs almost entirely off of the idea of chaos. Yeah, I'm all chaotic energy when I'm in the zone. Otherwise, I'm super happy to just sit back and let people just do what they're doing.
Right.
But then you get all that other type of anxiety where you're like, oh, hang on, I haven't said anything for like 10 minutes. Are they going to think I'm shit, you know? So then you start talking, you're like, actually, I've said too much within 10 minutes. Oh my God. And then, you know, then there's that whole other balancing act.
That reminds me of when we met last summer. I can't remember if I might paraphrase it or I might say it wrong, but the joke that was going around of like, oh, Doc, make a joke.
Oh, mate. Oh. Oh my days. There's nothing worse.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse. And you know what? The one joke that I... the key there is to fail as hard as possible. Yeah? You're not supposed to succeed. So, but what I ended up doing is they'd be like, go on, Doc, make us laugh. Yeah? In the most disrespectful way. So already I'm on the back foot and I'd just be like, okay. And I'd start tap dancing. And this, I can't tap dance, but I look like I might, you know. And I'm doing that whole thing, and I can speak about how lame tap dancing is for like another fucking 15 minutes, right? But I'm tap dancing and I'm doing the whole thing, you know. I like tap dancers always have this really pained smile on their face,
but
they're just like, you know. And then they're done and they're still smiling, waiting for the approval, and it's like, bro, you're tap dancing. Yeah, chill. I'll do that, and that usually got me out of it. Otherwise, I'd just be like, Doc, make us laugh. I'd just be like, and I'd just panic. Or the best thing now is just to own it. Just be like, Doc, make us laugh. Nah, I can't. I'm shit. Boys, I'm shit. Leave it out.
It's such a good lesson in everything. Ego, humility, the ability to handle pressure. The whole thing in one.
I'll never be genuinely narcissistic because of how frequently my friends are ready to put me down. They're like High Noon, Clint Eastwood, hand over the holster. like their hands over the holster like that. They're just like, hey, hang on a second.
Were you about to say something?
You look like you're about to be a bit too happy, right? You're like, oh, hang on.
So that wraps up this very unorthodox bonus content episode. The main part of our conversation will be out in the coming weeks, where we finally dive into some of the key aspects of his upbringing and the influence of his parents, as well as those pivotal moments through his life that have really shaped the person he is today. In the meantime, if you want to see more of Doc, you should definitely check out DocCast on YouTube. I'll put the link in the show notes so you can just click right through. But before you do, don't forget to leave me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, because why would you not want more people to enjoy content like this? Until next time, do look after yourselves, and I cannot wait to bring you the next episode.